This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Mickey just showed up. My mom, Mickey Rourke's down for a couple
stop
days.
Stop it. Chris is just shaking his head.
What am I supposed to do, Dave?
I know. The fact that you call your mother like Mickey Rourke, if there's a hell, you're going right there, by the way.
Well, with gasoline draws on, Dave.
So Mickey shows up. She's in the kitchen, and I make the protein shake, and I'm sitting there, and we're talking. And I take the first sip of the protein shake. I'm like, this is not chocolate protein. So I go over to the cabinet, the one I use. It's now called Booby Body Protein. It's described as it's for busy moms on the go. I don't fall into that category.
So if they had one for busy dads on the go, that you would have.
Yes.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DCR with you, the big 6 o'clock hour. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So, you got to be getting a little nervous now. James Harden is out with a hamstring issue, and I don't know when he's going to come back. Doesn't sound like it'll be very long term, though. Doesn't play last night. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, Charlotte's been playing well, and the Nets, just Aldridge plays well, and Kyrie, and just, they are unbelievable that they can beat anybody with one of their big three playing.
Yeah, but it's a different level of playing well. Like, Charlotte playing well as opposed to Brooklyn playing well aren't even in the same conversation. Charlotte scored 11 points in the first quarter. Jeff Green by himself. Outscored Charlotte in the first quarter of that game last night.
Charlotte was 4 of 23 from the field in the first quarter. 4 of 23. It was awful. I mean, they were down by 20 before you could even blink.
The game was non-competitive. I mean, it was almost a 30-point deficit in the first half.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess that just goes to show you, man, this Nets team, and Rick has been saying it all along, with guys in and out of the lineup, that gives the reserves an opportunity to get some playing time and to build some confidence. And last night was one of those nights where that paid off. I mean, being able to have six Nets in double figures and then Kyrie Irving assuming that role of being able to distribute the basketball, like that was one of those performances where you were asking for him to step up and do something different than we have seen him do all season long, which is scoring at a high clip, and the guy comes 2 assists shy of a triple-double. Like, Kyrie Irving was phenomenal. He got the ball to guys in their spots, and those players took advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, I mean, when you got, I mean, Tyler Johnson scores 15, Shamet was really good, he had 17, LaMarcus Aldridge, I mean, didn't even look like he missed time, I mean, he just steps in, and he looked good.
Aldridge looked, I mean, he went for, what, 11-9-6? He looked like he'd been playing on this team for years.
Yeah, this team's at a different level, though, Dave. I mean, Charlotte playing good basketball,
but
like I said, it's not the same.
Good.
Like, no, Charlotte is not, but you can't say that, though. Charlotte is an okay team.
Charlotte,
you start talking about good teams.
You're right. I can't say Charlotte's good. You're right. I apologize for that. Charlotte has been playing well, and you're the Nets, and you the game was over by halftime without Durant and without Harden.
But Dave, that's what separates teams that have a chance to win a championship from teams that are just playing at the moment good basketball. You're talking about a team that's 20-3 in their last 23 games.
I know.
Like, when they don't play well, like when they're just average, they still find ways to win. God forbid, like last night when they come out and they actually, I mean, you can tell like there's a sense of urgency and they're actually like at the top of their game, even without, I mean, again, you get no Blake Griffin, no Kevin Durant and no James Harden. But they, I mean, what Sean Marks has put together is, I mean, it's going to be scary when those guys, when this team is fully healthy, I mean, you're talking about like, oh, who am I going to sub in for Jeff Green? Oh, how about Blake Griffin? You know what I mean? Like, it'd be, it's Aldridge amazing, comes in, man. He ends up starting, which I think was smart. I mean, Nick Claxton's already emerged. Defensively, he's a stud. And then you have these other little pieces that are going to be playing in the postseason, barely any minutes. I mean, it's a scary team, man.
There is no way that if they're healthy, they're not going to the NBA Finals. There is no way. And I know that we kind of like Philadelphia, and that's the team that could stand in their way. There is no chance. None.
Well, you're hard-pressed. I mean, as good as Philly is defensively, I don't know how, I mean, what, like you said, if everyone's healthy, it's just pick your poison at that point. How are you beating them how are you going to beat them four
games? I don't think
you
can.
Series?
There's no way anybody in the Eastern Conference, Chris, beats this team 4 out of 7 games. There is zero chance.
Dave, you're saying the Eastern Conference. I think there's only one team in the entire NBA that could beat them 4 out of 7.
I agree.
And that's the Lakers when they're fully healthy.
And I don't know that they can, but there's one team that has the chance to.
Yeah. I mean,
that's because you have the greatest player. I mean, that's because you have.
the greatest player of all, like one of the greatest players of all time. Him and Michael Jordan are the only two that are in that room. And then you have the best big man in all of basketball in Anthony Davis. And you just signed Andre Drummond from the buyout market. So, I mean, the Lakers have enough, if they're healthy, to compete. But that's still going to be a hell of a series, though. And I don't know who's going to win. That's the flip of a coin.
I need that series. I think I need it. I think we need it as a show, and I think the NBA needs that series. I think those numbers for that series would be huge. Think of the star power.
I think that's what everyone – I mean, that's what everyone would want, right? Like, I mean, give me – if you gave me –
LeBron and KD. That's that LeBron and KD in the NBA Finals going head-to-head, the two best basketball players on the planet.
Give me Clippers, Lakers, Western Conference Final. Give me – I'll take either. Give me Brooklyn. I'd probably prefer Brooklyn Philly, but I would be happy with Brooklyn Milwaukee. And then Brooklyn Lakers final. Sign me up for that.
But that's all I want. Just Clippers fine. I think Denver's a pretty good team as well, and they've been playing great lately. But just give me Brooklyn and the Lakers. At the end of the day.
Yeah, but
that's
I'm saying for sizzle though. Like Denver's a good team, but for like sizzle wise,
yeah,
don't you? I
mean,
I would like to
see. Denver's not in the same stratosphere as those other two teams. They're not.
No, but I'm saying that they might be as the Clippers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sizzle-wise, don't you want – I want to see Lakers-Clippers if I had my choice.
I think the Lakers would destroy them.
I don't care if they destroy them or not. I would like to see that series. That's what we were hoping for last year. We didn't get it because the Clippers wet themselves with a 3-1 lead against –
All over themselves.
But that would be the series that I want to see in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah,
if I would
see that
handpick.
Yeah. Yeah, I would want to see that too.
I hope they can face in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, there's a good chance that those guys will. I mean, match up in the second round.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah,
or the first round.
Drummond's already hurt. I mean,
you see what the injury is?
Yeah, he ripped his toenail off.
He ripped the toenail off.
Yeah, it's disgusting, dude. I'm telling you right now, feet and hands. Anything when something happens to your feet and hands, it's the. I told you when I stubbed my toe and the toenail popped right out of the back of my toe. I can't even begin to tell you how much pain I was in.
Well, that's the way they torture people.
Yeah, they pull their fingernails.
They pull their fingernails out. That happened to me when I was a kid. I slammed my hand in a door.
Oh.
And it turned purple, and I had to have it drained. The doctor had to put a needle in my fingernail to drain the blood. It was awful.
That happened to me during a game. So when I went to make a blocker save, I like overreacted to it. So the puck hit me in my finger. As you're holding, like I'm clenching the stick, right? So my fingers are already like, so it hit me in the fingernail while I was holding the stick. Same exact thing happened.
Oh,
and you know that pressure? So they had to do the same thing. They had to drill the nail. Oh, it's awful. Ugh. Disgusting. Blood goes shooting everywhere.
Oh, terrible. Terrible pain. All right. 800-919-3776. So Porzingis, he's excited to come back. Knicks at the Garden tonight, a game you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN against the Mavericks, and we get to wow at Luka Doncic and all he's able to do. And, you know, when I think about that, it just frustrates me even more, the loss the other night for the Knicks, because tonight's a daunting task. Tonight's a really tough game. Dallas a really good team. And now you think about, I don't want to say spiraling out of control, but there's a good chance you're going to have lost three games in a row tonight.
Yeah, I wouldn't go. I mean, I wouldn't go as far to say that the Dallas is a really good team.
They're a really good team.
Yeah, something's off with that Dallas Mavericks team though. Like you can tell something's off. Like they're talking about trading guys and you know at the deadline. It just seems like the chemistry is off with them now. Talent wise, I mean, they have a lot of talent, but it just hasn't come together in the way that everybody expected. And this Knicks team, when they're locked in, they play really well. Even though they don't have the talent, I mean, the sum of the parts is a lot greater than the individual talent would suggest. So, I mean, this is one of those games that's going to be fun to watch, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks were able to come out with a win on this one. It wouldn't
really
surprise me at all.
I would be very pleased, and it would lessen the destruction of the other night. I'd feel much better about this team.
I'm having a hard time getting over that Timberwolves game.
That was bad.
Lessen the blow a lot if you won the game tonight, no?
I mean, you'd have good feelings because you just beat Dallas. And you beat, I mean, after you know listening to KP wax poetic about New York and how he misses it, yeah, it would be great. But, I mean, still, it doesn't make me feel any better about
that's
having
a
13-point fourth-quarter lead that you have below.
Terrible loss. And then the half-court offense, which made Dr. Naismith roll over in his grave. Jared in Morganville. Good morning, Jared. You're on 98.7.
What's up, fellas? How we doing this morning?
We're good.
All right, so a little hypothetical. Warriors of old, Thompson, you know, Curry, Durant versus the current Nets. Obviously, Durant's going to wash himself out. But who wins the best of seven with those teams?
Ooh.
I don't know.
That would be a good one, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
That would be a good one. The one thing I will say about...
Defensively, the Warriors teams, I mean, that Warrior team
elite.
Was
far better. With Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, far better.
Elite. And you got two all-time shooters in Klay and Steph. I mean, that would be a great series. I would probably give the edge to the Warriors, though.
I think I would as well, but that's gonna be a long series, Chris.
Yeah, that's seven games.
I don't know. I actually almost may lean
Nets.
I mean, the Nets' depth.
I know, it's crazy.
And we haven't even seen them.
But remember the Warriors' depth, too. Remember they would bring Sean Livingston off the bench and JaVale McGee? They had so much depth on that team, too.
They had Iguodala coming off the bench.
Iguodala came off the bench. I mean, Iguodala's the MVP of the finals.
Yeah, LeBron should have been the NBA, even if he lost.
I agree, but the point remains.
But here's the thing, though. I understand what you're saying. And I think you could make arguments for either side. The only problem is we haven't even seen what this team looks like at full. Like I really can't sit here and make a fair judgment on what they could be like, what their potential is. We haven't seen it. I mean, we haven't seen it yet.
No.
No, you're right.
They're still 20-3 in their last 23 games.
Yeah, that run. I mean, that run that Golden State had to. Chris and I were pissed. I'll never forget. We were doing a show at Belmont, and I remember that day, that morning, we were so aggravated because they lost.
Oh yeah, the one game.
They
swept the entire playoffs. They should have swept the entire playoffs. That's how good they were.
You're just delaying the inevitable. You're going to win the championship. Like let's just make it a clean sweep.
Did they go 4-4-4 and then 5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that really.
They went 16-1 in that playoffs, right?
It was so good.
That's so good. Chris in the truck. Good morning, Chris. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing this morning?
We're good.
Hey, listen. The Knicks will beat Dallas tonight. Dallas is not good. And Porzingis, you know he wants to come back because the Knicks are looking good. They're growing. The Knicks are going to have a good team in the future. I'm believing in this team right now.
Yeah, but Kristaps Porzingis would be crazy to leave. I mean, he's not going anywhere. He just signed a huge extension, and he's got Luka Doncic. Where's he going? To come play with who? Alfred Payton?
Yeah, great. Forces way out of Dallas back to New York. I don't want to be here. I want to go back to New York. Bring me back there.
Yeah, I don't know. He'll have something on his mind. Like, he'll be able to have. I mean, he wants to.
I'm sure he's going to
have a
well.
Great game tonight. He better put some money on the board, too. Get his teammates motivated.
I'm sure. Guess what the.
Chris, you guys put money on the board for wins?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Red dot a guy, money on the board. Yeah.
Yep.
That happened.
All those things. Guess what the spread on this game is tonight?
Oh, spread on this game is close, tight.
What do you think?
I'm going to say the spread of this game is Dallas minus 3.5.
Chris?
Oh, dang. Why are you doing this to me right now?
I'm not trying to put you in a bad spot.
I'm going to go Dallas minus 5.
Yeah, Dallas minus 5.5.
Nice, Chris.
Yeah.
Very well done.
I would love to see the Knicks win this game tonight.
Again, I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks did win this game.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you anxious? Are you nervous? Are you excited?
I would say I'm a little bit nervous, excited. Not nearly as excited as when I go up against you.
Because you know you're going to beat me, except for last week when you didn't beat me.
No, exactly right. Like, I want to win, don't get me wrong, but I wouldn't be
so you prefer to beat me than you would prefer to beat Canty.
Exactly right.
If you lose today, there's a number of factors at play now. It's a two-game losing streak, and you're going to have to now go for the next hour and 15 minutes and try to be somewhat entertaining where you'll probably be ruined.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot on the line here. Like, I don't get to just go leave the show and go somewhere else. Like, I need to.
Chris, that was not me.
I know, Dave. It was him taking a shot. I know.
Poor Chris. I feel like Chris needs a hug.
I do need a hug, Dave. I'm glad you recognize that. That's great awareness on your part.
Yeah.
I feel like,
and I'll tell you what. If we were in studio together, I would give you a big hug right now and be like, it's okay.
COVID be damned, you'd give me a hug.
Well, yeah.
Okay, I appreciate that.
I got the second shot coming next Friday, and I'm terrified, by the way.
Yeah, Dave's like the Dan Mullen of radio hosts.
Once I get the second shot.
Yeah, I got the second shot, and I tell you, that thing, that headache, I had a huge headache. I know a lot of people said they got fever and chills. I didn't have any of that. But the headache is a monster, Dave.
Really? Like, and I literally felt fine from the first one?
Yeah, the first one I had no problem with. The second one, that headache, like, it's debilitating. Like, I had to lay down on the couch for a couple of hours to bounce back.
Great. Well, next Friday, I'll probably be out of commission for a little while. All right, guests on DCR PRB, the Goodyear Hotline. Francisco Lindor, 10 years, 341. If anybody needs a loan, he's the guy that you probably turn to. He spoke yesterday to the media, had a little conference call, and discussed a couple things. Let's take a listen. Asked about Steve Cohen's tweets over the last couple of days.
Steve Cohen kind of tweeting out his thoughts during the process. And did that affect your negotiations at all from your side?
The crowdsourced one, that was funny. That was a funny one. I told him at dinner. The other ones, at that point, I already shut down my phone and everything on social media. So I didn't really care too much for it, because at that point, it's like, all right, are we going to get this done or not?
So is he saying he was bothered by that, or he just didn't even know that kind of thing was taking place?
No, he said he thought the crowdsource one was funny.
And the other ones were...
And then at that point, no, he just shut it down. He didn't even know about it.
Okay, because I couldn't tell if he was saying he didn't know about them or he didn't appreciate that Cohen was doing that at the time when they were trying to go back and forth.
I give him credit, though, man. I had those conversations when I was negotiating my deal with Charles. I mean, those are like really like intense, sometimes awkward conversations. I mean, you're talking to a guy who's worth billions and billions of dollars. You know what I mean? And you're having like a casual like dinner, but you're also like trying to negotiate at the same time.
Yeah, that's got to be awkward, man. Like, I couldn't imagine sitting down with the owner of the team and trying to discuss the parameters on a contract and what the future of the club is going to look like. Like, that just, like, I'm perfectly content letting my agent have that conversation just because it's awkward, man. Like, you never want to hear the negative things from the owner of the team, the guy that signs your checks. You just don't.
Yeah, it's intimidating, too. I mean, to be in that situation.
I'm sure it is.
Because, I mean, this is what this guy does. I mean, this is what he does. This is not what you do. I mean, you play baseball. I played hockey. It's like you're trying to, like, explain to the owner how much you think you're worth. And he's going to be the one that decides whether or not he's going to sign that deal or not.
But you guys weren't involved in that, right? I mean, that's
I was.
You were directly.
I just told you. I negotiated the 15-year deal.
You really don't listen to us.
You don't listen at all.
You don't listen.
Now, here's the thing. Okay? I got RJ talking to me. RJ is talking and talking and talking. So in that moment, I didn't. And I'm not throwing RJ under the bus. RJ.
You just did.
No, I'm not. I'm explaining without RJ.
Well, hold on, time out. Can you define what, just give us your definition of throwing someone under the bus,
if we
know.
If I'm needlessly, for no reason, speaking negatively about RJ, I think that he can become upset with me. I think there's very good reason. As you were in the middle of that long-winded soliloquy, RJ, I'd like you to confirm or deny. Were you talking to me?
Yes.
See?
Long-winded. That was like, it was like 12 seconds. I
wouldn't know. RJ was in my ear for the entire time.
Here's the thing. I was talking, and what I did say was, how many words would you say, Dave? I think I said verbatim, we could touch on what it was like to sit at the table for those guys.
I believe that's about right, yeah.
You said I was talking and talking and talking.
Well, it felt like that. In retrospect, when I tell my version of it, you're going on endlessly.
Listen, I understand. I won't talk to you anymore.
No, I welcome it.
Nope.
But if I'm going to miss something or repeat something or ask a question that was just stated by one of the guys, I think I should get a get-out-of-jail-free card.
I'll turn this damn bus around.
Dave, nope. What you did to RJ is by definition throwing somebody under the bus. Like, you literally exaggerated what he did, and you made him out to be the reason why you weren't paying attention to Rick's story.
But I was paying attention. He got in my ear that I actually couldn't hear what Rick was saying.
Yeah, but it's not the first time that you should know that. I mean, we've been doing the show together for 3 years. I've said that multiple times.
Well, you know, maybe on getting to know your co-host next week, that'll be your question, and maybe I'll get it right.
You'll get wrong. Just like the Wendy's question.
Did you have an agent?
No, I had to. We had to. I mean, I fired the agent and then negotiated the deal. Things didn't go well initially with the agent, and I had to make a decision. Either the deal was going to get done with me doing it, or it wasn't going to get done at all. So that's what we did.
So you didn't have to pay. What are the professional athletes?
No,
pay?
I did. 3%? I did actually have to. I did actually end up having to pay because I got may or may not have gotten sued.
Because that was his money, he thought.
Yeah, I think when any agent starts the negotiation on a contract, like they're entitled to compensation.
Oh. Yes.
Even
so
if they don't finish the deal.
You ironed out the deal. He did nothing at the end, and you still had to pay him.
Yeah, which was fine. I mean, I understood it. I get it. I mean, because it was – here's what happened, though. Because the year before, the parameters of the deal – it wasn't the exact deal. The parameters of that deal were brought up. And that was with my agent the year before.
Was that his idea to go 15 years?
No.
That was your idea?
No, it wasn't my idea. It was their idea.
They wanted you for 15.
Well, yeah, because Charles is a smart guy, and there's a salary cap. And the only way to get around a salary cap if you want to keep somebody and keep their number down is do long-term deals, which is what he did. That was the first one that happened. And then Ovechkin signed a 13-year. Like, everyone, that's why there's a limit now. Home team, like, if your team can offer you 8, another team can offer you 7. Because it's, I mean, what it is getting around. It's like the voidable years now in the NFL is what you're doing to the deal. You're lengthening it.
So they were kind of skirting the system is what
exactly
Charles
right
was trying to do.
Which is what they did. The prior year they suggested it. We had pretty much agreed to it. Went back to the league. League said no. So then fast forward to the next offseason. Same kind of thing came up. Things went south a little bit. So then I had to make the decision. And I didn't want to, but it was kind of like, yeah, if you don't, then this probably isn't going to end the way that you want it to end.
I didn't hear what you were saying. RJ was talking to me. What? Can you repeat that?
No,
I'm
not going to let you just run over RJ every day.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN. Getting to know you.
Getting to know you.
On DCR.
I don't know who you are.
This is... oh, my God. All right, away we go. Rick, are you ready?
As ready as I can be, yeah.
Are you feeling anxious?
A little bit.
All right. Chris, are you
ready?
Because
you ask terrible questions.
Shut up, really. I mean, can I even ask the questions before you start saying they're terrible? Chris,
I'm just going off the track record.
Chris, I apologize. Are you ready?
Yes, Dave. I'm ready to go.
I honestly hope that you go 5-0 and he goes 0-5.
Okay.
The way he's acting. And let's begin. Question one. I helped launch the career of who? A, Mina Kimes. B, Mike Golic Jr. C, Chris Sims. D, all of the above. I'll ask it again in case you're playing the home version as well. Question one, I helped launch the career of A, Mina Kimes. B, Mike Golic Jr. C, Chris Sims. D, all of the above.
Awful question.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Awful question.
I thought we were only doing 3 choices, A, B, and C. I didn't know we had a D.
Apparently there's a D now. All right.
Okay. Oh, yeah, there's
ready?
A D.
Yeah, that's
short,
right.
Fat D is what it is.
There's a big, beautiful D there in that answer. Wow. Okay, here we go. Question two.
Take it.
Question two. I could ask the greatest question ever now, and it's going to be bamboozled, so I'm fine with what's going to happen to me. I'm the Giancarlo Stanton of the show here. I got in trouble for letting this Knicks player curse on live radio. A, Derrick Rose. B, Carmelo Anthony. C, Tyson Chandler. I got in trouble for allowing this Knicks player, it wasn't my fault, but I got in trouble for it, for cursing on live radio. A, Derrick Rose. B, Carmelo Anthony. C, Tyson Chandler. You guys all caught up, ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Question three. The infamous, I went to the hotel and spent 2 nights and left my family game. What game was that? A, the loss to the Niners in the playoffs, 39-38. B, the DeSean Jackson punt return game. Or C, a regular season loss to the San Diego Chargers. The game that I left home and spent two nights at a hotel was A, the loss to the Niners. B, the DeSean Jackson punt return game. C, a loss to the Chargers. You guys all caught up and ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My dog as a child had the name of what? It was A, Sims, B, Taylor, or C, Landetta. A, Sims, B, Taylor, C, Landetta. You're good for the fifth and final?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I walk down the aisle to what song? A, Are You Ready for Some Football? B, Classic Battle. C, Go New York. Go New York. Go. At my wedding, I walk down the aisle to what? A, Are You Ready for Some Football? B, Classic Battle. C, Go New York. Go New York. Go. Okay, there we have it. Are
Canty,
you ready
just so
to
you
reveal
know too, Canty,
the answers?
Canty, just so you know, too.
There we go.
So I lost last week, and I made a huge mistake. But this is just typical of what I do. So I'm sitting here looking. I got the same exact sheet of paper that I used last week.
Mm-hmm.
Look at answer number five, and I went with, I decided to throw a curveball to myself at the end.
What does it say?
Yep,
Tupac.
I see it. Tupac.
The right answer.
You had the right answer.
Here lies your problem. You do this to yourself all the time. Whatever your first thought is, just go with that. Stop playing mind games with yourself.
Can't help it.
You really have issues.
I don't like that we have four answers for the first question and only three for the other four.
Well, you know
what?
What
happens when you do it in the morning before the show, like
no,
3 minutes
no,
before
no,
the
no.
show?
Listen, okay. It's the same playing field. You guys are on the same playing field. I don't want to hear excuses.
It's like doing your homework on the bus on the way to school.
And you know what? You can still wind up with a net. Here we
go.
This is like the
Niners playing on MetLife Stadium with the turf.
Question one.
Bus that Rothenberg runs RJ over with. That bus.
Question one. I helped launch the career of who? It was A, Mina Kimes, B, Mike Golic Jr., C, Chris Sims, or D, all of the above.
This is such a self-serving question, too, by you.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if you would spend a little more time paying attention, a little less time complaining, things would go better for you.
Well, yeah, because you're trying to screw me up here, though, because I know for sure one.
Yes.
And then the second one, I kind of think you said that, too. And I can't go A and B, because that's not a possibility. Like, I know Mina Kimes for sure. I'm going to say you love yourself so much, I'm going to go D, all of the above.
All right, Chris.
I am going to do the same. D.
D, all of the above. That would be correct.
Yes,
I do love myself, and it is factually accurate. I helped launch the career of A, Mina Kimes, B, Mike Golic Jr., and C, Chris Sims. In fact,
I'm a big star, you know.
With Chris Sims, it was the day Jeter retired, and he was in studio, and I was doing nights, and I was told, you can't have him on. He won't be able to talk about the Yankees and Derek Jeter appropriately. And his response to the management at the point was, I wore number 2 because of Derek Jeter. And they were saying, sorry. You're not allowed on the air until Dave finishes with that topic. All right. You're both 1-0. Very, very good job. Question 2. I got in trouble for letting what Knicks player curse on live radio? I know Santiago knows this one. The answer is A, Derrick Rose. B, Carmelo. C, Tyson Chandler. I can see Rick is very upset with this question because he doesn't know. Chris, the answer is?
C, Tyson Chandler.
Rick DiPietro, the answer is?
I go with Tyson Chandler as well.
You're both wrong.
No, oh, it was Carmelo?
No, you'd be wrong again. Derrick Rose. Santi, I know you remember it. Live.
Just me, Derrick. That was about it.
He cursed, and for some reason, I got in trouble. And I was told, why would you allow him to curse? As if I was in control of the words he was using. The third question. You're both 1-1, so it's a tight battle. The game, I left home and stayed at a hotel for two consecutive nights was A, the loss to the Niners. B, the DeSean Jackson punt return game. C, loss to the San Diego Chargers. Rick, I believe you're up.
I'm going Niners loss.
Chris?
I'm going Chargers loss.
Chris takes a one-game lead. I've told you a million times. You always think it's the Niners, and it was the Chargers, and I'll tell you why. Because all week long, I had to hear, living in Raleigh, how Phillip Rivers was better than Eli, and he was going to show Eli up. So when they lost the game to Phillip Rivers, I was extra upset. Sherry asked if I wanted dinner, and all hell broke loose. Chris, I'm glad that you have a
2-1
lead.
It's a regular season game. That's I shouldn't even have brought that. It's embarrassing.
Well, you know what?
Well, he went into the detail. The detail is why I felt like that was the right answer, Rico.
Good for you.
You know what I mean?
Good for you, Chris. Good.
I completely lost more respect for you right now.
Good. Pull it out here, Chris. Here we go. 4. My dog as a child was A, Sims, B, Taylor, C, Landetta. Chris, you're up.
Your favorite player was Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, and Dave was lurking like Dave likes to do in the bathroom while Lawrence Taylor was peeing.
That's Lawrence Taylor! That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't think it's that easy.
RJ, I'm going to need you to pull the clip where Dave says, pull it out, Chris, please.
Wow. I just lost my train of thought. I'm going to go A, Sims.
All right, Rick.
Well, I have to make a move here because I got Sims down too, but I can't go Sims because I know he's going to get the last one right.
Oh. The stress is wonderful.
But if I get this wrong, then the game's over.
If you get this wrong, the game is in fact over. We're going to need an answer.
Would you really name your dog Landetta?
No.
I'm going to go Sims.
You're both wrong. Come on. The dog's name was Taylor. You guys are overthinking
it. So easy. That's
it was
ridiculous.
A layup. I gave you a layup.
That's Lawrence
you
Taylor.
Missed it.
That's Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, Chris, that was your opportunity. But you can still win it here. I walk down the aisle to what song? A, are you ready for some football? B, classic battle. Or C, go New York, go New York, go.
I'm up first. It's classic battle.
B, classic battle.
And you're both correct, making the winner of the day one, Chris Canty. Chris, congratulations. I think the appropriate thing for you to do right now, drop the mic and just be done with the show for the day.
All right, I'm dropping the mic. I'm out of here. You boys have a great show and a great weekend.
There you go. That, of course, is Chris Canty. I mean, that's 2 in a row, Rick. You are now on the verge of embarrassing yourself on this segment.
It just seemed too easy. That was the obvious answer was Taylor.
I gave you, because I thought, I said to myself, maybe some of the other questions are too difficult, so let me give them a layup here, and you both missed it.
That seems like a question where you panicked. Like, you only had 3 done, and you panicked. It should be that. That's too easy.
That you lost, really. I mean, stop it. Getting to know your co-host brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Place your parlays, props, and future bets at the king of all sportsbooks. Get the app and do that today. I'm embarrassed for you. Don't let it affect your work and performance the rest of the show, but I'm embarrassed for you. I expect a better performance from you.
Yeah, I don't know what you wanted to. I mean, you ruined my weekend. Congratulations. Thanks.
No, you ruined
your
own weekend.
You set out to do it, and
you ruined your own weekend. Let me let you in on a little secret, by the way. My dog that passed away a year and a half ago, her name was Carson, okay? So if we ever get there in the future, I mean, maybe I should give you little nuggets here now that Chris is not on the show for the next couple minutes.
Why did you name the dog Carson?
Harry Carson.
You are a sick individual. The fact that you left your family for 2 days for a regular season loss.
It was a perfect storm of things that went poorly, by the way. It was the loss. It was how badly I wanted the game. And then Sherry was like, do you want dinner? And this voice of like, you know, how can, it's like saying like, hey, do you want to go to a movie when someone has died? You don't ask someone, do you want dinner after something like that has happened?
Well, you don't ask somebody to make you dinner. I wouldn't be like, if Sherry was like, hey, Dave, why don't you make us dinner? I could understand you get a little upset. She was going to make you dinner. I lost in the Olympics and I didn't leave Cassie for 2 days.
Well, maybe you should have. I think it'd be understanding if you did.
I may or may not have missed the plane home, but I did not leave.
Well, I know. See, I know that because I pay close attention to you. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. So our guest in about 13 minutes, Tim Kirkjian, is going to join us and help us break down what happened with the Yankees yesterday. And we started the show like this, and I want to go back to the Yankees. I got to tell you, and I'm being honest, I'm really kind of disappointed in the Yankees fan. That today we have to have the conversation of is it a bad loss? I guess it's one of 162. I mean, look, you think the Dodgers fans are freaking out this morning because Mookie Betts in a big moment yesterday did not come up with a hit against the Rockies and they lost that game. It's one game for
terrible
God's
example,
sakes.
Awful example. Great, one of your worst comparisons of all time.
How so?
The Dodgers just won the World Series, Dave.
So what?
Well, what do you mean? So what?
So what? They still lost. They lost the opener. Kershaw was terrible yesterday.
But that's the. But they just won a World Series. That's where the frustration stems from.
Is that the Yankees can never get it done?
They haven't been able to get it done. When your GM comes out and says, "I don't want to just win a championship. I want to win championships," and you continually come up short for a lot of the reasons you saw yesterday afternoon, there's a level of frustration. Now, do I think you need to be booing Giancarlo Stanton in the season opener? No, I absolutely don't. Because I don't think that does him any good, and you as a fan does no good, because, I mean, this guy is going to be in your lineup every single day. He's going to be your DH. You want him to be at his best, and booing him on opening day does not help what he's trying to do.
It's ridiculous. I mean, what is the end game? It's one game, and like we mentioned earlier, and shame on all you Yankees fans that did it. Now, do you feel as strongly as I do from doing that yesterday to Stanton?
Yeah, I don't think it was a good look for Yankees fans.
I thought it's an awful look. I mean, you know you're going to win the division. You know you're going to win 95 games. You know your team is great. You had tremendous shadows yesterday. It's freezing cold, and you're going to beat this guy up, who arguably was your best player in the biggest moments of the postseason last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's not get it twisted. Giancarlo Stanton wasn't good last night, but I mean, there were other guys in big moments that came up small.
Did LeMahieu come up big?
No, neither did Judge.
Did Judge?
No.
Did Torres?
No, but over the last 2 years, DJ LeMahieu's been your best player, and Aaron Judge is your guy. That's really what this comes down to, is that Aaron Judge is their guy. He's their Derek Jeter, and Stanton is A-Rod. Because, I mean, Stanton hasn't lived up to the billing yet. He hasn't. I mean, I agree with you.
But what? How does it benefit you? And can you argue the fact that he was great last year in the postseason?
No, you can't.
Great. So how does it benefit you to boo this guy on opening day, on the one of 162, to act like that?
I don't think it does benefit you. But clearly, I mean, there's a level of frustration with Yankees fans with Giancarlo Stanton. And I'm sure the same exact thing would have happened if Gary Sanchez had a bad day. They probably would have booed him too.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he would have been booed off the field.
I mean, I
think that at the drop of a hat, when Gary said, look, Gary Sanchez could go 11 of his first 20, and you get to game 7 and he strikes out with the bases loaded in a big moment, and he's going to get booed off the field. I think certain guys get leeway and other guys don't. And Stanton and Sanchez will get no leeway from the Yankees fan this year.
None. Yeah, I mean, and outside of hitting a walk-off home run last night, yesterday afternoon, I mean, Gary Sanchez couldn't have had a better game, in all honesty.
He was great.
Like, he did everything that you needed him to do yesterday, he did.
He caught well. He hit well. He hit for power. I mean, you're right. I mean, there's nothing more you could have asked for.
You saw everything. I mean, everything that Gary Sanchez, you know, is setting out to prove this season. Can he catch Gerrit Cole? Yes, did a great job with Gerrit Cole. Defense was great. Ends up throws out a runner with an absolute hose.
He was out by a mile, too.
Yeah, I mean, a home run against the lefty, which he couldn't hit at all last year, on a fastball. Boom, check that box. I mean, he doesn't run hard to first base. Well, infield single, ran hard to first base. Draws a walk that puts them, you bring Tauchman in, he steals second, ends up stealing third. Perfect opportunity for DJ LeMahieu to end the game. Doesn't happen. But yeah, I mean, there's no reason to panic. It's one game.
This is what they do. Get very nervous. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. You remember Canty when they were 9-9 a couple years ago, was breaking glass in case of emergency? I think he actually used that quote.
No, he did. Yeah, that was a direct quote.
At 9-9.
Yeah, listen, I don't know how to explain it because, again, I'm not a Yankees fan, so I don't understand those kind of expectations. Because we haven't had those as Mets fans. But it happens in every sport. There are certain players in every sport on all different teams that the fan base picks out to be overly hard on. And Stanton's that guy. Stanton and Sanchez are those guys right now.
Yeah. Oh, they absolutely are. And that's not going to change anytime soon. Kyle in Albany. Good morning, Kyle. You're next up on 98.7.
Morning, guys. First, I want to say I'm a big Yankee fan. I don't understand why you're booing anybody unless they're, like, doing something terrible. But the other thing I thought about with booing Giancarlo Stanton and not really booing Aaron Judge is back when Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle were going at it. They used to boo Roger Maris for just having more home runs than Mickey Mantle because they liked Mickey Mantle more.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain guys. I mean, listen, the Yankees fans at the time, when you brought in Stanton, and I remember, I mean, getting phone calls, I actually said it myself, is, yeah, he's coming off the NL MVP, and he's a great player, but, I mean, you already have Aaron Judge. Like, why are you bringing in Stanton? And now we're at a point where it hasn't worked out the way, you know, they were hoping it would work out.
No, and it clogs your lineup.
And it hampers you financially. Because they're not. This isn't the George Steinbrenner Yankees where they'll spend whatever it takes. There's a number they're going to get to, and that's it.
But it's true, and I think that I think every fan base is like this, and the Yankees fan especially so. When it's their guy, right? When it's their guy and their homegrown guy, you're going to get a way longer leash than if you're brought in. You saw it with Jeter over A-Rod. You see it now. The caller's right. I mean, it was like that way with Mantle over Maris. I mean, when it's your guy and you drafted him. Or you signed them when he was a kid, it's a very different feeling.
Yeah, actually, I was telling you the other day, I don't know, it was last week, I was doing radio in Toronto, and one of the reasons they brought me on was the criticism of John Tavares fair? And again, Toronto's been a really good team. I mean, what's crazy is he leaves, and all of a sudden the Islanders are getting way further in the postseason than the Leafs are. But when you're that guy that's brought in, it's kind of like the... You know, that finishing piece to get you to that next level, and it doesn't work out, and you're not a homegrown, you're not the homegrown guy. The fan base is going to be tough on you
and quickly. But it almost feels like all the ailments that are with the Yankees are placed on two guys, right? Sanchez, I understand a lot more than Sanchez has been awful. Stan has not been awful. He's been injured, but he hasn't been awful. Gary Sanchez has been bad. But it feels like everything that goes wrong with the Yankees, two guys get blamed. Sanchez, Stanton, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair, but I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, there have been times. Listen, has he been the same player we saw in Miami? No, he hasn't been the same player we saw in Miami. But I mean, there's been times when Stanton, you know, has carried the lineup when Judge was hurt.
He carried the lineup in the series against Tampa last year. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, but remind me how that series turned out.
No, but not for his fault.
I understand what you're saying, but that's where the real frustration lies, is that they haven't been back to the World Series. That's where they get frustrated. And for some reason, they've picked out Stanton as the one that's, I guess, the most responsible for that.
That's right. And he's public enemy number one, and that's not going to go away. So let me throw this out there. We'll get to it a little bit later after Tim Kirkjian joins us, but I just want to kind of whet the appetite and the beak of everyone out there. Did your Buster tell us yesterday that he thinks this can be a Mets town?
Yeah, I did hear that.
I mean, and you know what? He's right, because I remember. Now, the Yankees are really good, so I think that it's a big difference. The Yankees are going to be really good for a really long time. But I remember in the 80s when the Mets were great and the Yankees stunk, this was a Mets town. It wasn't like 1 and 1A. This was a Mets town, and the Yankees were what the Mets have been for the last, you know, 10, 12, 15 years. I don't know if we'll ever get back there, but I think we can get closer to a 50-50 than we are right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to believe that. And I'd also like to believe that with this new ownership that we're going to be right there as far as being able to compete every single year. Like, we may not win it every single year, but we're going to be right there every single year.
The Mets should be what the Yankees have been. Like, a bad season should be you lost in the wild card game. That's what it should be for the Mets right now.
Yeah, I mean, you should consistently be a playoff team.
Yes.
That would be the goal. That should be the expectation. If you're going to sit here and tell me that you want to be, you know, the Dodgers of the East, then that the expectations from the fan base should be you should be a postseason team every year.
100% agree.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.